So for people that have suffered a stroke, I would say, look, firstly, I understand, how difficult this must now be for you, and how much frustration you're going through as you recover. What you can do is potentially speed up your recovery. And this is what I've found. Even after 30 years, since the stroke that I had, I was able to improve a lot of the the lasting symptoms. And so if there was a chance, I know it'll be hard to put the donuts away or to stop eating those comfort foods, especially when you're feeling pretty bad about yourself and about your situation. But if there was a chance that you could feel 10% better, 20% better, 30% better, wouldn't you want to give it a go?
Hi there, carnivore enthusiast. I'm Adam with Carnivore Today, and in this interview, we sit down with the talented Dave Mack from the No Carb Life YouTube channel, who has improved his challenges with a past stroke by eating a carnivore diet. If you have ever struggled with complications in relation to the brain, you will not want to miss this priceless information that Dave shares with you. Before we start, please remember to subscribe and enable notifications so you never miss any of our future videos. I truly appreciate those who have already done just that. Let's get started. It's truly an honor to be here with Dave Mack today from No Carb Life YouTube channel. This guy has done incredible things for the carnivore community, the no carb community, and I definitely implore you to check out his channel for really, really great content. He's very inspiring. A lot of his YouTube thumbnails are very catchy, very clickable. So I definitely implore everyone to go and check out his content and watch as much as you possibly can and support Dave, because this cause of helping people and, bringing people to true health is definitely worth something supporting. So thank you, Dave, for that.
Thank you so much for having me on, Adam, and thank you very much for those kind words.
For sure, for sure. Can you give the viewers a little snippet about you? Like where you're from, how many years young you are, if you have kids, if you're married, those sorts of things.
Sure. So, I'm 48 years old, and I currently live in Japan. I've lived here for the last 17 years. I'm an Australian, but I was born in Scotland, hence the complexion. And yeah,
Wow.
growing up in Australia did nothing for the suntan. But yeah, so I live in Japan with my wife and daughter, and I'm an English teacher here in my non-YouTube time.
Nice. So that's very unexpected, I guess. You're born somewhere, you live somewhere else, and now you live in Japan. You're not Japanese and you teach English. That's awesome. So where did you first hear about the carnivore diet, and how long have you been living that lifestyle?
So, I fell into carnivore. I didn't intend to start this way. I started on keto, and it just morphed into carnivore. And the way I found it really was just watching a video one day. I think it was a Ken Berry video, and he was talking about how vegetables are not necessarily our friends. And I was trying to deal with some gastric issues at the time I had been experiencing since I started keto. And he was suggesting that we didn't need vegetables at all, even. And so I thought, okay, well, I'm not a fan of vegetables. I'm only eating them because people tell me I should. So let's try without the vegetables. And sure enough, the gastric issues stopped, and it just became carnivore.
Wow, that's awesome. So did you, let's start with this first. I understand that you had a stroke earlier in life. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So that's correct. I had a stroke when I was 17. So that's going on 31 years ago now. I went to bed feeling fine one night, and woke up the next day feeling like I had some kind of virus or something, or really bad hangover, despite not having been drinking the night before. And it turned out that I'd had a stroke during my sleep. So what had happened, I had a basilar artery aneurysm, which is like a blowout in a tire on the blood vessel, one of the main arteries, back of your head. And it had been there for maybe since birth, was just getting weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. And that night it had just burst in my sleep. And so the blood rushing from that into my brain is what caused the stroke. And I was just very, very lucky because I've got unusually thick blood, and it clotted very quickly.
Oh, wow. That was very lucky for sure. So what challenges have you faced since then in regards to that stroke?
The most pronounced challenges, I think, are physical. Like you can probably notice that my right eye droops a little more than my left side, and that's basically, my whole right side is somewhat affected, you know, and my balance is a little bit off, and when I'm walking, you know, I limp a little bit, and you know, I don't have the strength in my right hand as much as I had before, so I can still do things like write with my right hand, but for a lot of things, like for example using my touchpad on my computer, I use my left hand now, so that's kind of a lot of things have transferred over. But the main challenges have been related to balance and stuff like that, and you know, along with those balance things, things would happen, like tripping over or something like that, and you'd just be kind of walking normally, I don't know, walking out to do a presentation or something at work, walking normally, and because you've got rubber-soled shoes on and because you don't lift your right leg as evenly as you did before, you'd trip over on the carpet and make a fool of yourself in front of everyone. And that kind of, you know, over time, that has quite a big impact on your, I don't know, your self-image, or, you know, the feeling you have about doing stuff like that in front of other people, like presentations and things in front of others, that kind of thing.
Well, I never would have noticed any drooping, and I actually still don't now. I'm trying to see any drooping in your face, and I can't tell anything. You look great, man.
Cheers. Cheers. That's kind of you to say.
So did you experience any depression that came along with going through those types of things? And has any of that resolved over time?
So I think, yes, I think this has made me more prone to kind of a depressed state, and more prone to being anxious. And over time, you know, that just seems to have gotten worse. It's always been very easy for me since this happened to get into a dark place where I think like everything's ending or whatever. And it's not like a fatal kind of ending. It's just like, you know, everything's just too much. And, you know, I just want to give everything up, but then I don't really want to give everything up. It's just this cycle of keep, you know, this negative talk to myself. And yeah, that really has, you know, been since about 18, 19 years old, that really started to set in. And that fortunately has lifted a lot in the last year or so.
Okay. Yeah, that was my next question. If the carnivore diet has actually helped in that regard for you.
Yeah, I think it has. Part of the reason it has is that it's helps me to kind of step back from a situation and actually look at it much more objectively. You know, before I would, whether it was a discussion with my boss or a discussion with my wife or you know, and discussion is kind of maybe code for argument. Whether it was, you know, just a discussion or, you know, something with a friend, whatever, I would always get so emotionally involved in the situation that I would be, I couldn't step back and just kind of look at the situation and go, actually, you know, it's such a small thing that we're talking about. In the grand scheme of things, who really cares? Or, you know, if I worry about this so much, and I keep going over and over and over this in my head, I'm not hurting anyone else but myself.
True.
And yeah, carnivore has really helped me to have much more of a kind of, aloof is the wrong word, but it's like an ability to just kind of step back and look at the whole thing and go, yeah, okay. I'm looking at it now a little bit more abstractly than I was before. And yeah, it's not that big a deal. I'm just going to let it go. I'm just going to ignore it. It doesn't affect my life that much.
That's really, really great insight. And, you know, I'm right there with you. It's kind of hard to describe the kind of the zen, if you will, the openness of your mind and just being able to be clear and think in a different way than you are when you have the grain brain.
Definitely. The grain brain is a really good way of putting it.
That was a book that I read back maybe 12 years ago, I think, something like that. And it opened my eyes to.
Dale Mutter or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think I've read some of that. Yeah.
Were you prescribed? Well, first of all, I want to give a shout out to my wife. She is a occupational therapist. So she deals with people that have suffered strokes and things like that all the time. And she wanted me to ask that question to know, you know, if the carnivore diet has improved any depressed state or anything like that, because she sees that on a daily basis with a lot of her patients.
I mean, it definitely, I would if someone was in my situation, someone had a stroke, and especially early on, I mean, I wish I'd found this early on. Can you imagine if I'd found this at like 18 years old? So I would say that I talked about the cycling before. You get into that cycling kind of like, this is always going to be this way, you know, this is always going to be this way. I'm always going to be tripping over. I'm always going to be embarrassing myself. And it doesn't need to be that way.
I feel you. I feel you, Dave. I was there as well with a traumatic brain injury, and I never thought that I would be normal again. And the diet has definitely given me hope to keep pressing forward, and things are going to get better, and they have got better. And over time, things just seem to keep getting better. For sure. Is that the case with you?
Yeah. I mean, my reaction at the moment doesn't look like it, but every day. It's just, wow. I feel like it's every day you feel like there's something that you realize this just never felt as good before. You know, a lot of the things as well, and this is kind of slightly off the topic of related to brains specifically, but it's just every day you feel like, you know, did I ever feel this good? You know, so even prior to the stroke, I can't remember a time where I could ever run as easily or ever, you know, I realized a week ago I can jump down the stairs, you know, and not worry. And I mean, that has more to do with the arthritis I had than the having the stroke. But I mean, the stroke plays a role in that too, because I would always have been frightened that my right leg was going to kind of give in if I jumped from too high. So I never did, you know, and I would always go down, you know, slowly one legged, right? Like stepping down from something.
Right.
So yeah, it's every day. Just things get better.
That is awesome, Dave. I really, truly appreciate you sharing that with us. And I know that you're going to definitely help a lot of people that are in your situation, and hopefully they'll take heed to the advice that you have in regards to this to continue to improve their life, you know, give it a chance anyways.
Thank you.
So after the stroke, did the doctors prescribe you any medication that you were on and,
so after the stroke, so I had the first operation that I had, unfortunately it was unsuccessful, was directly on my head. And because I'd been operated on directly on my head, they gave me Dilantin that I had to take for a year or two, and that supposedly prevents epilepsy. Okay. So that really was the only thing that I needed to take besides like blood thinners.
Okay. So there wasn't anything that they were saying, here's a medication, it's going to solve this for you and you'll have noticeable results. It was kind of more of a preventative thing.
Yeah. Just preventing. Yeah.
Okay. So in terms of therapy, I know you probably had maybe some physical therapy, possibly some occupational therapy after that. What types of therapy were you? Oh.
I started to.
Okay.
But I was, you know, 17, 18 at the time. And at that age, right. even when you've had a stroke, you tend to feel kind of invincible. And
for sure.
You know, I was, you know, I wasn't really, I was working full time. So it wasn't like, you know, my mother was really in a situation where she could be forcing me, you need to go to do this every week or every day or whatever it is. So, I went for the first couple of, sessions. And then I was just like, I don't want to do this. You know, I'm because it was
right,
like,
right.
I think part of the reason was, you know, actually, I say it's all like it's that young kind of bravado. Like I'm invincible. I don't need any of this. But I think what it was as well is it was probably a little bit difficult for me. And, you know, at least subconsciously, I was probably, you know, like, I'm done. I don't want to do this. You know, I'm not sitting, you know. Mm-hmm. trying to bounce a ball with my right hand, or you know, trying to do these toe curls or whatever it is for an hour a day or an hour a week or whatever. So I think it was probably that it was a bit difficult, or it was a bit of a hit to the ego or something like that, and I just decided no, I'm not doing it.
Right. I can definitely see that. You think that's more of a man thing? Because I probably would have done
maybe. Yeah.
I definitely didn't want to go to physical therapy. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Have you ever considered experimenting with the lion diet, or have you done that?
I haven't, only because I feel good as I am now. I mean, my understanding of lion diet wise is, well, to step back, what I'm eating now is basically every day, one meal a day, I'm eating ground beef and 10 eggs. And other than that, I drink water and coffee. So if I was going to go to lion, I guess the only thing that would change would be that I'd be cutting out the eggs, and probably I definitely would have to give away the coffee. And while I from the coffee perspective, I understand that is actually something I should give away. I'm not sure how I'd go with no eggs, because for me, like, I don't love eggs. I like eggs, but I don't know. It acts like, it's almost like a little bit of filler for me. You know, the same way that you have your bread or your rice or whatever it is with a meal when you're doing a regular diet, that's your filler. Eggs kind of are a proxy for that for me. I don't know. Sounds a bit weird, but
I feel the same way. You know, I could take them or leave them. They're not my favorite. I'd rather have a steak, but it's kind of like that's my variety, you know?
I think that's it. The limited variety you have, that is big variety when you don't have a lot of things. Yeah.
Right. I'm eating 100% more of something else, you know?
Yeah.
So, for most people, they say that stroke recovery is a lifelong process. So in light of your experience, do you have any insight into that statement with, you know, your experience with the carnivore diet?
I think even with, you know, something like carnivore, I think it probably still is a lifelong improvement process or recovery process. I think carnivore just does something that speeds it up. And I guess that's because your body knows how to heal itself best. And if you're giving your body the food that it's naturally expecting, then it's going to be able to function as best it can. Now, I remember talking to Dr. Anthony Chafee about this a little bit, and he said to me that, I mean, he himself, as a neurosurgical resident, he was kind of even a bit surprised, but he was guessing that what happens is the myelin sheath starts to repair itself, or somehow gets repaired, because you're feeding your body the nutrients that it needs, and as a result of that, the messages get sent more effectively over time. And so I think it's probably ongoing, but you know, it's amazing to get these results 30 years after the fact.
It almost seems impossible, doesn't it?
Is it when you resign yourself to this is it, and then you suddenly notice so many dramatic changes, it's a really big thing.
Yeah, it's very remarkable. You know, I don't have as long of a time with symptoms. I only had about 6 years with brain damage, and even after that 6 years, the change is like, holy smokes, this is, I never thought this was going to be possible, because all the doctors said, you know, this is permanent. You know, you don't really come back from anything like this.
Mm-hmm. And the trouble is, I mean, you know, as much as they have your best interests at heart, you know, they're speaking from their experience as, you know, doctors that only ever see patients who are doing regular diets, right?
Right, for sure. Yep. Well, let's switch gears just a little bit and let's talk about what you like to do in your free time. You have any hobbies or anything like that over in Japan?
In my free time, well, one of the issues I've got at the moment is there's not much of that anymore. But in my free time, funds permitting, I like to travel. One of the things that I've really kind of nerdily gotten into over the last few years, unfortunately, just around the same time that we got locked down, was planes and flying. You know, I've been
Wow.
flying around the place for years. You know, I was traveling for work when I was quite young, but I've suddenly got an appreciation for, you know, like just how amazing it is, flying is. And so while I've got no aspirations to be a pilot or anything like that, you know, I just like kind of, you know, planning out our travel and you know, thinking about you know, making plans for what we're going to do and all that kind of thing. So but other than that, I'm really into, I've always been into computers and stuff, and so like
Nice.
messing around with programming, things like that.
Okay. What kind of programs do you
I have the programming language that I use is like very outdated. It's called Visual Fox Pro. Microsoft don't make it anymore.
do? Okay.
But it's still a good tool to be able to use to create little database applications and, you know, things where you want to analyze data and, you know, maybe automate things, stuff like that.
Wow, that's very, very mind intensive for sure. I don't think I could do that. Cool. So let's go back to carnivore, switch back, and have you experienced any other benefits on the carnivore diet that's, you know, not related to the stroke?
So the first thing that I noticed was my improved sleep. And I kind of, that was something I was expecting because I've done low carb and keto before and have experienced sleep improvements when I've done that. So kind of I knew that was on the cards. But so sleep improvements, and that has the flow-on effect of improvements with mood and focus and concentration and stuff like that. Outside of that, I had pretty bad gum disease, or I was developing pretty bad disease. And along with gum disease comes, you know, sensitivity, bleeding gums, and really bad breath. And I had all of
Right.
those things. And I noticed that, again, this is, you know, with carnivore, you don't notice things like immediately, like wake up one day and say, oh, I haven't got this problem anymore. These little
Right.
things happen over time. And my first indication that something had changed was people, specifically my wife, was no longer recoiling when I talked to her. So if I was kind of standing close to her and I spoke, she would kind of do this sometimes. And I realized over the period of about a week to 2 weeks that she's not doing that anymore. And then
Wow.
from there, I kind of went, and I'm not having the bleeding gums anymore. And, you know, my teeth, aren't, I'm not, when I go to brush my teeth or touch anywhere near my mouth, I'm not worried about kind of the sensitivity, you know? And while I haven't had ice cream in the last 14 months, I know that if I put something cold like ice cream or ice in my mouth, it wouldn't hurt, you know, because if I drink something that's extremely cold, it doesn't hurt my teeth anymore. So all that improved, and that was over a period of maybe 2 months. And but I think, and there are a lot of other things, and I'm probably going to forget things, but the biggest thing for me, and maybe because of the things that were happening at the time, this is bigger than the stroke changes for me, and that was my arthritis that I had in my left knee just disappeared.
Oh, nice.
And that was so big for me, because even if I was sitting down like I am now, mm-hmm. not moving, that dull, horrible sensation was always there. It was ever present. So it was 24 hours a day of pain. It was just nightmare pain if you were trying to walk. But it was just there all the time. And that's just gone. Like, again, I'm jumping downstairs now.
Awesome.
I couldn't have done that. And I mean, that had such a big impact on me, because my left, now my good side, right, because of the stroke. So mm-hmm. I rely on my left side. So once that starts breaking down, I'm in big trouble.
Right.
You know, and so like the difference in, let's say, 16 months ago to now, it's just night and day. Like, there is zero pain. I can go upstairs, you know, two stairs at a time, which would have been impossible before without touching the handrail. I don't need to hold the handrail, which is also a testament to the balance improvements from the stroke issues.
For sure.
And other than that, I've noticed small things. I had a bald patch that's gone.
Really?
Yeah. So,
that's awesome.
This is just things you kind of notice. Like, this is something I only noticed a month or so ago. And I was watching a video of me in, how long ago was it? Five or 6 years ago. I was walking out the front door carrying my daughter, who would have been about 2 years old at the time. And as we walked out, my wife was behind me taking a video, and like, I just looked at this video and I'm like, I don't have that bald spot anymore. And so then it was like this mad rush to trying to find more video and more photos of the time and compare them together and stuff. And yeah.
Did she ever tell you about that bald spot before?
No, she never said nothing. No, so I knew I was getting it. I knew I was getting it. I hadn't paid attention to what was happening now.
Right.
Yeah. So cut my hair short. The reason I cut all my hair off was because with longer hair, you know, I was feeling like, it's really showing now. So that was why I cut my hair off. But like now where that spot was, the hair's regrowing.
That is incredible.
Or has regrown.
Wow. Who needs to buy a product when you can just eat a steak?
Right? That's it. But like, how many companies are going to go out of business?
Oh, yeah,
it's
for sure.
Like, when you look around, there's so many there's so many industries that rely on the fact that we're going to continue to pump not food into our bodies to, you know, stay afloat.
It's so true.
Yeah. Everyone suddenly starts eating only steak, and there's a lot of them out of business overnight.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. Man, that's definitely, I've thought about that many times, you know, what if everybody goes carnivore, you know, like what would that look like? I know eventually in time it could probably be possible. Maybe it's possible now, but it's kind of a scary thought if everybody goes carnivore all at once, you know, like, are we going to have meat to eat?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I'd like to think we're moving in that direction, and I think we are. I mean, like in the last year, the amount of people that seem to be starting carnivore as a result of, seeing some Ken Berry videos or Anthony Chaffee videos or Sean Baker videos or whoever it might be, seems to be getting very, very high. But also, I struggle to think in the near term that it's going to become anywhere near mainstream, unfortunately, because I think it's just too much of a bitter pill to swallow for people who have invested their whole self-image in the exact opposite. Taking out the
Absolutely.
money side of it completely, it requires so many people to turn around and go, yeah, everything that I've talked about, everything that I've lived for the last, I don't know, 5, 10 years is completely wrong.
So true. Yeah. I mean, those of us have moved to carnivore are almost a little crazy, I guess you could say, as we cut, our minds are much more open to, I might be wrong, and this looks really, really good for me and my health. I'm at least going to give it a try. And man, I wish people would just do that, just give it a try, 30 days. But like you said, the programming that we've all received from very little is so strong. So much of it's a big hill to climb for a lot of people, for sure.
Yeah, I kind of look at it, the people that end up being successful with carnivore, I kind of look at it in, I talk a lot about analogies because that, helps me think about things most easily. And I kind of look at people that have success on carnivore a little bit like serial entrepreneurs, So you've got the serial entrepreneur that tries to start a business or tries to invent something and it fails miserably. And they just go through life doing this and doing this and doing this. And everyone thinks, this guy, I just wish he'd, effectively go on the plant-based diet. Wish this guy would just give up.
Right.
But eventually he or she just strikes it rich, they just get that one thing that works and they go, okay, I'm going to double down on this. And it feels a little bit like that with carnivore for me, like we spend all our lives kind of like, I'm not happy with this thing about my health. I'm not happy with this thing about my health. Maybe it's that you're not happy about having to take all these drugs, whatever it is. But so you're constantly trying different things, and maybe some of them are like really crazy, like maybe some of them are like, a 300 calorie a day diet or something like that, whatever it is.
Right.
But you're always trying these little things. And sometimes you'll have a little bit of a success, but it ends up in a failure, just like when you're trying to start different businesses. But then you hit on that one thing, which is carnivore, and it's like, okay, I've finally broken through. And yeah, that's kind of the way I look at it.
So that is so true. I mean, once I found carnivore, it's like all these different diets that I've done in the past or ways of eating, whatever you want to call it, Atkins, South Beach diet, Weight Watchers, all this stuff, and they just weren't sustainable, I guess is the best way you could put it. I just couldn't stay on it because I was still eating carbs, that's that allure of, well, you can have whatever you want as long as it's, below 10 net carbs or 20 net carbs or whatever it is. And I never realized that carbs are the problem. You got to cut those out for to begin with.
Yeah. I mean, and that actually, I mean, I've been on Atkins and stuff, and I've had good results, but it's so easy to fall off. And I kind of look at those things again, and using the business analogy, I kind of look at it again as, you've got, you start your business, like you go on Atkins, you start your business and it seems to be going all right, and you're losing weight, that money's coming in, you're doing all right. And then, you know, in the corner, someone else is pitching you some other business idea. These are the keto treats, you know, pitching you this business idea. And it's like, oh yeah, I could try that too. And you get distracted by all these new shiny objects, and then the wheels fall off everything. And kind of it's a little bit like that with Atkins or whatever, you know, you're like, yeah, I could just have that low, that keto chocolate bar or whatever. I'll be okay. It's keto. You know, not paying attention to how many sugar alcohols and stuff in there that's going to be messing up your metabolism. And
for sure,
follow.
For sure. Yeah. Those sugar alcohols are, my first experience with that on Atkins was ice cream that had, I forget what exactly was in it, what sugar alcohol, but man, you know, you think, oh, I can have the entire half gallon of this, you know, and I'm good. No, a little bit later on, you know, in the evening, that's not good.
and the problem is when you have the half gallon, then it's like, well, there's that other half gallon that I could just finish off as well, right. You know, because I'm feeling crappy. I may as well continue to feel crappy and then I have to worry about it tomorrow.
Yep. Yep. And for sure. And it's just next thing you know, you're off the wagon.
Yeah.
Yep. So what YouTube channels are your go-tos these days?
My go-tos these days. All right. So
it doesn't have to be carnivore related.
Okay. I really enjoy, well, related to carnivore, I think the ones that I enjoy watching a lot. I like Bart K, because I like his kind of reviews on things, and I like his kind of pithy feedback, and you know. Recently one that I'm watching more and more is the name's really long, so I only remember the handle, is Former Fat Girl. So Nicole, okay, from Former Fat Girl is really good. She does some good reactions. But nice. Yeah, and of course there's, you know, staples like Anthony Chaffee and Sean Baker. But outside of that, what do I watch the most? Outside of that, I'm gonna say maybe Mentor Pilot. You know, I mentioned I was, you know, I've got that nerdy kind of plain interest thing. So yeah, I watch Mentor Pilot. That's Mentour Pilot.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do they do on that channel?
He's a pretty big channel. He's a pilot himself, and he just talks about things, you know, things about planes, but also kind of airline news and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of interesting to listen to. So okay. That's always a good one to listen to, like if I'm, I don't know, walking home or something like that, and I just want something easy to listen to as I'm on the go.
Wow, very cool. Yeah, that's I always was interested in, you know, being a pilot, but after seeing the, you know, what you have to do and study in order to get there, I'm like, I'll just let somebody else do it.
Yeah, I don't think I've got the patience for that much study and that much investment of money and time before I find out if I'm ever going to even qualify for a job. It's
right.
I prefer the kind of jobs where you do on the job training.
Get the job for sure. And then, yeah. Can you imagine that? Give me the wheel.
yeah. I know what I'm doing. Okay, you showed me this once already. It's this button, right?
Yeah, right. It's just like driving a car. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, so, I can ride a bicycle. I'm fine.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
sorry.
So with let's see, I got my next question up here for me. Let me this one's kind of a big one, and I really would love your opinion on this. So I'm going to try to read it so I don't get it wrong, because I try to put some thought into this. So obviously your journey is unique to you, and you're definitely going to inspire others with what you're doing and the information that you're putting out there and just your story in general, especially, you know, in regards to the stroke and the improvements over that. So what message do you have for others that have had a stroke that they may not be aware of the significant improvements that can be had just by changing their diets? And one, can you answer that for just the regular person that maybe has suffered that?
So I would say, you know, for anyone, so for people that have suffered a stroke, I would say, look, firstly, I understand, you know, how difficult this must now be for you, and how much frustration you're going through as you recover. What you can do is potentially speed up your recovery. And this is what I've found. Even after 30 years since the stroke that I had, I was able to improve a lot of the, you know, the lasting symptoms. And so if there was a chance, I know it'll be hard to put the donuts away or to stop eating those comfort foods, especially when you're feeling pretty bad about yourself and about your situation. But if there was a chance that you could feel 10% better, 20% better, 30% better, wouldn't you want to give it a go? And all you need to do is slowly move towards a diet where you're eating no carbohydrate. You don't have to do it overnight, but you need to just get started. And that could start as simply as getting rid of some of the poisons in your diet, which is getting rid of the seed oils. Get rid of the seed oils and then slowly transition to having no carbohydrate at all. And if you can try that out for 60 or 90 days, you'll notice differences and you'll notice improvements that happen much faster. And that's, I think that's what I'd say.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's really, really great advice, Dave. And I really think that, you know, people will heed that advice for sure. And, you know, I hope that they do for sure. I mean, it's just, I can't even describe, you know, the improvements that I've had myself. You know, I don't want to get too much into that right now, but it's significant. It's significant enough to make that change for sure. So also along with that, the second part to that, you know, I don't mean to put you on the spot or anything like that, but the same question in terms of advice for somebody that is in the medical profession that may not know this information, what would you say to them?
I know that's a tough one. In the medical profession. Look, I mean, I think the best advice for someone in the medical profession might be to just consider that. Let me start.
The reason I ask this is because, you know, the medical establishment really is kind of entrenched in their way of thinking, and it doesn't seem like there's very many studies, if any at all, in this area. Mm. So yeah. Looking at it from the perspective of somebody who is, you know, a physical therapist or an occupational therapist, you know, what would you say to them? Maybe it may be the same thing that you would say to the average person. Maybe do some research or.
Yeah. I would say just consider that all of the advice that you give to people is based on a standard model of how studies and other researchers and other doctors have thought about the way that people eat. And you know yourself, if you change something in someone's body, that has flow-on effects. So how can I word this best? So if you were to change the types of food that you eat completely, you would probably understand there would be flow-on effects from that too. And as a result, you also need to think about someone's nutritional needs and someone's health in context. Not necessarily assume that everyone's eating 2,000 calories a day made up primarily of carbohydrate that they buy at 7-Eleven. I don't know. I'm not sure that my attitude towards talking to a doctor would win me any friends with them. So yeah,
right.
I think I'm probably not nuanced enough in the way I would talk to them. So
right. I think maybe Jordan Peterson probably put it best, at least as best as I have heard that. You know, if you hear thousands and thousands of anecdotal evidence instances, you know, it's no longer anecdotal. It's a hypothesis.
Yeah.
So
yeah that is a good way to put it. Yeah.
Sorry to put you on the spot there. Yeah.
No problem. No worries. I appreciate the different kind of question. That's very stimulating.
So if people want to connect with you, where can they find you on social media?
Okay, so they can go to YouTube and just type in No Carb Life or go to @ZeroCarb in YouTube. And I'm also on Twitter @RealZeroCarb.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, I definitely want people to go and subscribe for sure. I mean, you have some really, really great content. I watch a lot of it. I don't have time anymore since I'm doing more content creation. But I used to consume. And now it's just wrapped up in this world of create. So I definitely would like to consume more of your content and everybody else's, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Go to Dave's channel, yeah. Subscribe, and watch as much as you possibly can. So,
thank you so much.
Do you have any closing thoughts, any little nuggets or words of wisdom that you want to give everybody?
I would just say to anyone that hasn't tried it yet, just give it a go. You've got nothing to lose. Oh, you do, but, you know, it's stuff that you want to lose, right?
Right.
So... give it a go. Just try it out 30, 60, 90 days. And the worst that is going to happen is you're going to get better sleep, you know, and,
oh, darn.
And yeah, what a nightmare that is. But also, you know, if you've fallen off the wagon, and that's easy to do. I mean, you know, again, back to the entrepreneur's analogy, I've been doing Atkins and keto on and off since 2000, basically since I heard of it. And, you know, you get on, you fall off, you get on, you fall off. And you know you should be staying on there because that wagon makes you feel so much better, right? But it's easy to fall off. And so if you are trying to stay to calm, and falling off and whatever, don't beat yourself up when you fall off. Just say, you know what, I've made the mistake, you know, the next, you know, what I do from now is what's important, and just get back on the wagon.
Very cool. That's great, great advice, Dave. One last thing before we wrap up. I know it's early in the morning where you are, but it's almost bedtime here where I am. What are you going to do when we get done here?
I'm going to go and get on the train. Well, first I'm going to feed my cat, and then okay. I'm going to get on the train and edit up a video.
Ah, awesome.
Well, so Dave, I travel an hour to and from work each day. So I use that time for video editing.
Nice. That sounds relaxing for sure. Dave, it was a pleasure talking to you. I thank you so, so much for your time. And I truly believe that there's going to be thousands and thousands, if not more, people that's going to benefit from your story. And I really appreciate, and I'm honored to have you on.
Thank you so much, Adam. I really appreciate you having me on. And it was a really nice discussion.
All right. Take care, Dave.
Cheers.
Thank you, Dave, for sharing your story. Go subscribe to @ZeroCarb if you haven't already done so. You will find mountains of great content. Share your experiences with the carnivore diet in the comments section below. Let us know about the positive changes and benefits you observed. Help spread this message by sharing this video with anyone who might find Dave's transformative story inspiring and healing. If you like this video, please hit that like button and subscribe. It really helps me. Thank you again. Stay amazing and see you in the next one. Bye for now.